Okay, we're starting from Kuftet Amud Bet, about 15 lines from the bottom. Rabban Gamliel Omer Im Mianah. So we were in the middle of the Mishnah about this case where the sister falls. There's two sisters married. One is a Ketana, one is a Gdola, right? And then she falls to Yibum, to the older sister falls to Yibum, to the younger sister's husband. The younger sister's only married me to Rabbana. And the older sister is married midoraita, so she has a chiyuv yibum midoraita. But yet the sister, there's a chot isha midorabanan here, because only midorabanan, because the sister's only married midorabanan. So she's supposed to do yibum with her brother, but she can't because he's married to the sister. But she's also not ptura because she's only married, the sister's only married midorabanan. So there's still a chiyuv of yibum, basically. So there's all different options as to what to do. Yesterday we talked about that we should encourage, we have Rabbi Eliezer in the end, who says, right, it says Rabbi Elazar, but I think they explained it was Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we should teach her to do miyun, right? We want to encourage her to do miyun, and if she does miyun, then she won't be married to the brother, and the yibum will be chal for the sister, and the sister can basically do yibum with the brother. Rabban Gamliel said, no, we don't teach her to do miyun, right? Im miyana miyana, okay, and that's the day we're going to talk about now. If she does miyun, great, that resolves our problem. If not, we're going to wait till she gets older, and then once she gets older, then it will be a good marriage, right? As soon as she reaches the age of gadlut, and here we're going to get into what I told you yesterday, we're going to get into, is it an automatic, as soon as she becomes a gdola, it automatically becomes a marriage? Or do they actually have to have sex with each other? We'll see. And that's what he says. So as soon as she becomes a gdola, the marriage is going to be a marriage midoraita. And the sister, who's supposed to do yibum, is now going to be ptura because of erva. So she's basically in a holding pattern waiting for the other sister to grow up. Okay, that was opinion number two. Just to remind you, opinion number three was Rabbi Yehoshua, who says, Oilo al ishto, oilo al isha tachiv. He has to basically, he can't, because of this isur, we learned this a while ago, achot zikukato, right? You're forbidden to be married. This is when we learned all about Zika. You're forbidden to be married to the sister of the one that you did yibum with. You're forbidden to marry. Like when someone falls to yibum to you, you can't marry the sister. So now, what happens? Mija Oraita, the sister falls to Yibum. Mija Oraita, he's not married to the younger sister yet, right? Because they're only married Mija Rabbanan. So when she would become Gdola, like Rabban Gamliel would say, it would be forbidden for him to marry her because she's a Chotzukukato. So basically, what does he have to do? He has to give a get to his wife, and he does Chalitza, right? He does Chalitza with the, right? And what's he do? Shabu Chalitza, right? Eshet Achiv, he has to do Chalitza with. Okay, because there's no Iser Erva Midoraita, right? If it was Iser Erva Midoraita, she would just be Ptula. Okay, so he basically has to get rid of both of them. Okay, now we're going to get to Rabban Gamliel, the middle opinion. Im Yana Miyana, okay, V'im Lav, she waits till she gets older. Ba'amine Rabbi Elazar mi Rav. Okay, Rabbi Elazar asks Rav, my time with Rabban Gamliel, what's his reason? Okay, we're going to give two possible options as to his reason. Mishum dekasavar kidushek tana mitlatalu. The chi gadla gadle behada. Are we saying, right, afal gav de lo baal? Are we saying that when you marry a ktana, your marriage is basically hanging, okay? You're waiting, basically, until she gets older. And as soon as she gets older, that retroactively makes it like the marriage was good. In other words, the marriage is in a holding pattern. As soon as she hits that age, boom, they're married, even though they don't have relations. O Dilma, or maybe it's Mishum de Kasavar, Hamikadesh Achot Yivama, Niftira Yivama Vahalchala. Okay, or is it because he holds that, Mikadesh Achot Yivama, one second, right, that the first marriage is really nothing, and Hamikadesh Achot Yivama, Niftira Yivama Vahalchala. One second, this is, lose me for one second. If he's Mekadesh, right, right, I'm sorry, now I remember the case. If you're supposed to, okay, forget this case, okay? You're supposed to marry, you're supposed to do Yibum with someone, okay? He's supposed to do Yibum with this woman. What happens? The sister comes along of this woman, right? And he marries her. Okay? Let's say he marries the sister, which is usher for him to do, right? Because it's a chotz kukato. So now maybe Rabban Gamliel holds, like someone who says like this, Hamikadesh achot yivama, niftira yivama v'halchala. If he goes, after she already fell to Yibum, he goes and marries the sister, which, again, if you say achotz kukato is a problem, it's no good. But some people hold that if he marries the sister, okay, then she is p'tura lashuk, okay? So now, even though she's, one second, niftira yivama v'halchala, afshana sederval, right, basically the Kiddushin uproots the Zika of the Yibum, okay, according to this opinion. So are we saying that if he were to marry the sister, right, it would uproot the Zika of the sister? Okay, let's go through this case again. He's supposed to marry this Yivama. She falls to Yibum. They have Zika, right? But he doesn't really care. He goes and marries her sister. Now, if he marries her sister, the marriage with the sister now forbids him erva to the one who was achotz kukato. This would be according to the shita that there's no real zika, right? Because otherwise, how could he marry the sister? So the assumption is that achotz kukato is not forbidden to him, right? So if he goes ahead and marries the sister, that kiddushin uproots the zika of the yibum. Now, why is that relevant to our case? Because what happens in our case is basically the same thing. He was married only midrabanan to the sister. The other sister, whose husband died, falls to Yibum to him. And now what happens? This one is only married midrabanan. As time goes on, right, what happens? He then goes and marries her. The marriage turns into a doraita marriage, right? Now, that marriage between them, that doraita marriage, is going to uproot the zika of the other woman. But now, how can that happen? It has to happen with an act. It's not enough for it to, right, to uproot the zika. You have to have, so they say, I ba'al in, lo I lo ba'al lo. If you would say according to that interpretation, you would have to say that there was an act of bia to allow you to uproot the zika of the other wife. Okay? So that's the whole question. Does he hold basically that the kiddushin is just kind of waiting for her to get older, and then as soon as she gets older, you don't need any sort of act to cause it, right, to make a new kiddushin? Or are we saying, no, there's really like a new act of kiddushin, and that act of kiddushin happens al yidei bia, and by doing the bia, that basically is an act of marriage, and that can uproot the zika of the sister. Okay? So now, Amarle, so now Rav answers Rabbi Elazar and says, "Hainu tamad Rashba mishum de kasavar hamakadesh achot yivama niftara yivama v'halchala I ba'al in I lo ba'al lo." Okay, he says the answer is that there has to be beila. Okay, there has to be an act, and that act is what uproots it. Amar Rav Sheshet, Amina, I'm going to say the kinayim v'shachiv Rav Amar lahashmata. He must have been sleeping. We've seen this before, right? He must have been sleeping when he said this. Doesn't make any sense, okay? Why? Titanya hamikadesh etaktana kidusheha tluyin. Okay, we have a brayta that says, someone who marries a ktana, the kiddushin are tluyin, they're hanging. Now, if you say the kiddushin are hanging, that seems to imply that they're hanging, and as soon as she becomes older, it proves, you know, it makes their marriage solid. So, my tluyin, what does it mean, tluyin? Lav ki gadla gadle behada. Doesn't it mean that as soon as she gets older, the marriage grows with her, right? And it's kind of a continuation of the same marriage, even though they've never relations. Okay, so now they say, no, even though you're saying it's hanging, the bride says it's hanging, it doesn't mean that it happens without having any sort of act. Because what they're saying is, this marriage is such a light marriage, okay? Now people say, dati light, right? It's like marriage light. Okay, why is it marriage light? It's marriage light because she can say, Hu adif minai va'ana adif na minai. He has power over me because he could just give me a get if he wants. Okay? But I have power over him, ana adif na minai, because I can just do miyun. As I, in a simple thing of saying, I'm not interested in my husband, remember we saw how easy it is to do miyun, she could just get rid of him. So the point is that the marriage is fragile almost, right? It can be broken so easily that it can't possibly be, even though they're saying it's tluyim, it can't possibly be that it gets fulfilled just by virtue of her turning 12 in a day or having simanim. There has to be some sort of act, okay? So just because that bride exists doesn't mean it contradicts Rav. Now we're going to ask another question against Rav. V'savar Rav, another kushya against him. V'savar Rav, I ba'al in ilo ba'alo. Does he really think you have to have be'ila? V'ha itmar, there's another place where it says, k'tana shalomi ana, v'higdila, v'amda v'niset. Okay, a k'tana that doesn't do miyun, and then she becomes older, and she goes and marries somebody else. Rav amar, eina tzricha get misheni. Rav says, her marriage was such a good marriage, the first one, right? That, right, because what happened? She didn't do miyun and she grew up, right? So what does that seem to imply? Now the kiddushin's mida oraita. So if she goes ahead without a divorce and she goes and marries another guy, what do we say? En kiddushin tofsim. So she doesn't need a get from him because she was an esh adish. Okay, which seems to imply, before we even go on, this seems to imply just by getting married. It doesn't say higdila and dibi'ila, right? It just says, and she got older. Ushmuel amar tzricha get misheni. Shmuel says she does need to get from the second guy. So again, my love de lo ba'al, it doesn't seem to imply that they didn't have sex. Lo de ba'al. Okay, no, it must be they did have sex. Okay? In other words, the point is, it just says atzri tagdil, but just because it says atzri tagdil doesn't mean that they didn't have sex. So now they say, wait, but if you're going to say that there was Be'ila, Ide Ba'al, my time of Shmuel. How could Shmuel say, right, that she doesn't need a, get, right? If she had a good marriage with the, if there wasn't Be'ila, right, then how could she need a get, how could she not need a get from the second guy?
She should need a get.
Right, she should need a get from the second guy because there was no... Right, the point is there's two opinions here. One says no be'ila is enough to make her married, and the other one says a good be'ila, without be'ila, it's not enough to make her married. And therefore, if she wasn't married, then she went to the other guy. It should be... Wait, one second, why am I getting confused? If she... She did be'ila, right? De ba'al... And therefore, right, Rav says she needs a get from the second guy because she was really legitimately married. And Shmuel's going to say...
No, if she's legitimately married, she does not
need... She doesn't need a get from the second guy. And if she... Shmuel's going to say she wasn't legitimately married, and therefore, right, she doesn't need to get a divorce from the guy because...
No, therefore she doesn't need to get a get.
Because, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
She wasn't married to the first guy.
So the Kiddushin was Tofsin. That's right. That's what I... Thank you. The Kiddushin was Tofsin with the second guy. So now... what do we say? Idi ba'al my time with the Shmuel. Kasavar kol ha-bo'el al dat Kiddushin ha-rishonim hu bo'el. Okay? The assumption is when she does be'ila, it's al dat ha-Kiddushin ha-rishonim. I'm missing one thing here. One second. Right. When he does Be'ila, when she's already married to him, okay, we have a very strange situation here. She was married to the guy, but only midrabanan. The assumption now is when he's Bo'elota, even when she's a Gdola, okay, and he doesn't have Kavana to do Kiddushin with this Be'ila, okay, so now... She remains always married midrabanan. Okay? If he doesn't have intent to basically, right? So she's married midrabanan, and therefore she's only married midrabanan, and then the kiddushin of the second guy are going to be tofsim, and therefore she needs a get. Okay? I know what kept confusing me. I kept looking at the wrong chart, which Shmuel said, Ein atzricha get. Okay, sorry. The next thing Shmuel says she doesn't need a get. That's why I kept looking at the wrong chair. I was thinking, okay, fine. So Shmuel says she needs a get because basically she never ended up, even as a gedolah, even with Be'ila, she never gets married to the second guy. Okay? The first guy. The first guy she never gets married to because just Be'ila, without the intent to do Be'ila for marriage purposes. Okay, right. Remember we learned about when you're Makadish Bibia, you have to be Makadish Almanat, you have to do Bia Almanat, right? Like Hare At Mikudeshat Li Bibiazu.
You have to say it.
You have to say it. Or
it's not just intent.
It's not just, I think it's not just intent. I think you have to say it. I'm pretty sure you have to actually say it. So if this guy, the assumption we had until this point was, as soon as he has Bia with her when she's a Gdola, that automatically makes them married, right? Without intent, because that's how marriage, right? Marriage can take place with Bia, and they're already married Midor Rabbanan, and we just want to up it a level. Shmuel says there's no such thing as upping it a level. When he sleeps with her, when she's a Gdola, it's just a continuation of the first thing. And the first thing was only Jorabanan, so the marriage is still only Jorabanan, until it seems like he takes an act and he says, I'm doing it l'shem kiddushin. Okay, and then their marriage returned to Doraita. Okay. So now they say, if that's the case, that's what Shmuel's saying, that it's all based on, right, this machloka between them, tzricha get, ain't a tzricha get, is all because kol ha-boel adak kiddushin ha-rishonim ha-boel, v'ha-pligi b'cha dezimna. They already have a machloka about this in a different place. So why would they argue about the same topic twice? There's always this assumption. Okay, right. The assumption always is there's no reason to give another machloket about the same thing unless there's a need, right? Unless we're going to see it's tzricha. But where do they talk about this some other place? De itmar, kidsha al tnai v'kinsa stam. What if he makes a kiddushin al tnai, okay, and then he sleeps with her, okay? Stam, meaning without saying it's l'shem kiddushin, okay? But the assumption is that after he's Mekadesh Ota and then he sleeps with her, that, Stam doesn't mean without the intent to marry her. Stam means without the Tanai. In other words, he did Kiddushin al Tanai and then he sleeps with her without a condition. So the question is, when he sleeps with her after he does the original Kiddushin, is he sleeping with her and saying, I'm Mivater on the Tanai? Like, let's say he says a tnai, I'll tnai that you'll give me matayim zuz, like we saw the other day, okay? You'll pay me money. And then, when he sleeps with her, he doesn't say any condition. So the question is, has he decided to be mevater on the condition? Okay, we'll say the word mochel, lemchol, alzeh, or not. So Rav Amar tzricha himenu get. Okay, it's a legit marriage. And she needs a get. If she wants to marry someone else. Ushmuel Amar, right? In other words, the assumption is here, the condition is never fulfilled. So if the condition's never fulfilled, are they married or not? Right? Do we say that he was mochel on the condition, so therefore if the condition's not fulfilled, it doesn't really matter, they're still married? Or do we say, like Rav says, no, tzrichai menu get. He married her, right? He was kinsastam without the, right? He does, the truth is kinsa, I think here they mean is, he chupa, right? There was kiddushin and then chupa, like a marriage, nisuin. Ushmuel amar eina tzricha himenu get. She doesn't need a get. So now what do you say? Rav amar tzricha himenu get. Why? Kevan dinaspa, since he marries her now, achule achle litnae. It's clear that he was mevater on his tanai. Otherwise, he would have repeated the tanai. The tanai hasn't been fulfilled yet, right? How can he marry her without mentioning? Oh, and this is obviously conditioned on the fact that you're going to pay me money. Ushmuel amar eina tzricha himenu get. Why not? Because kol haboel al dat kiddushin harishonim hu boel. Right? Anyone who sleeps with her, right? If it's all according to the conditions set up by the first marriage. So last time we said, right, the conditions of the first marriage were it's all Durabanan. So when he's Bo'el Ota, he continues with this Durabanan marriage. But, and according to this, it's the same thing, right? It's saying, if I made it tonight in the Kiddushin, when I did the Chuppah and then I slept with you, obviously I meant only under the terms that you're going to basically fulfill your condition. So now they say, so if that's the case, why do we need to learn it in both cases? So they say tzricha. Why? Di itmar hahi b'hahi ka'amar rav mishum di katna'a. In the case where there's a t'nai, so we would say, right, that because there was a t'nai, v'kevan deba'al achle l'tna'e. Okay, once he does be'ila, he shows, I don't care about my t'nai. Aval baha, but in our case, ema modile l'shmuel. In our case, where there's no t'nai to be fulfilled, basically, that he was mochel on, it's not, right? In our case, it's a kiddushin d'rabbanan, and then turns into a kiddushin d'oraita. You might say, oh, he doesn't need intent for that. He doesn't need to, right? It just happens. Because it's not like he's being mochel on any sort of t'nai. There he had set up a condition, and maybe by marrying, right, the condition, he's saying, I don't care about the condition anymore. But when it comes to our case where there's no condition to be mochel, it's like a din of mechila. In our case, there is no mechila, so maybe it will work in our case. And therefore he would agree, Aval baha ima modile l'shmuel. Okay? V'i'itmar baha, what if it just had our case of the Kiddushin d'Rabbanan turning into a Kiddushin d'Oraita. And remember, Shmuel says it doesn't work until he has intent, because Kol Boel Dat Kiddushin HaRishonim Hu Boel. You would say that Bahach Ka'amar Shmuel. Aval Bahach, you would say, only Shmuel would say what he said there. But Bahach, but you might have thought that in the second case of the T'nai, Ema Modele L'Rav. You might have thought, because there's a T'nai, right here it doesn't exactly say why he might be Modele L'Rav. But you might say, because there's a T'nai, he went anyway and did it, then you would say he would be mochel on the t'nai. So it's tzricha. Okay, so you'd have to say you need both cases. It's not clear cut that you learn one from the other. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to ask, again, on Rav. Okay, we had all these kushiyot on Rav. Now we're going to have another koshi on Rav. Remember, Rav said it all depends whether he did be'ila or not, right? So, umi amar Rav ki ba'al in ilo ba'al lo. V'ha ha'hi uvda dehava benarash. There was a case in the city of Narash. V'ikadsha k'shi k'tana v'gadla. Okay, so what happens? He got engaged to her when she was a k'tana. She got older. Okay, she became a g'dola. V'otve abe kursaya v'ata achrina v'chatve mine. She got put on this Beit Korsaya. We saw this. We talked about this at Pirion. They were basically bringing her from her father's house to the, or from not her father's house, because her father's not alive anymore, right? She's, the whole thing is she's a Yitoma. If you want, you can turn it on. They basically, what happened? So she's on her way, and someone comes and grabs her. Okay, what does it mean, grabs her? He marries her. Okay, before she gets married to this other guy, comes and grabs her. Now remember, if she's married me to Rabbanan, so fine, he can grab her and marry her off. Marry her. But if she's married me to Oraita, you can't do that, right? She's an Ishadish. So when what happened here? What's the assumption? They didn't have sex yet because she's going from her family's house to the wedding. Okay, so Rabron and Rav Hananel, the students of Rav were there. Okay, now the assumption is whatever they said is what Rav would have said. Okay, it's interesting. Usually they bring a question from Rav himself. Here they're just saying the students of Rav did this. It must be that Rav agreed with them. Below hits Rihua Gita mi Batra. They didn't make her get a get from the second guy. Okay, meaning that the assumption is, right, that right, that the first kiddushin were d'oraita, and therefore she didn't need to get from the second guy because ain't kiddushin tofsim, and therefore she could basically go back and marry the first guy without a get. Okay, so now why didn't they make her get a get? The assumption is even without beila, the kiddushin were, you know, were tofsim. It was turned into kiddushin d'oraita. So Amar Papa benarash minsav nisibe v'hadar mot ve'abe korsaya. Okay, they're saying, just because she was on this Beit Korsaya doesn't mean in Narash they had a minhag that they would get married before they put her on the Beit Korsaya. Meaning, she actually did have sex with the guy in this case before she got snatched up by somebody else. Rav Ashi Amar, hu asa shelo kahogen. Here's a different terutz. Okay, this guy who is chotefota, asa shelo kahogen. Okay, you're getting ready. Here's a big line. Okay, it comes up three times as far as I recall in the Gemara. I think there's only three cases where this is mentioned. Rav Ashi says, because he acted inappropriately, right, to basically take a kala on her way to get married to someone else, snatch her up and go marry her. Okay, so meaning there really was no sex. Okay, in which case she really was only marrying me to Rabbanan. In which case, what was the problem? So what do they say? This is brilliant. Who asa shelo kahogen? Lefichach asu bo shelo kahogen. Vaf ki'inu Rabbanan lekidushin minei. Okay? What is this? Annulling marriage. Okay? Why is this such a big thing? Because if we can annul marriages, right? Basically, there's three sugyot where it talks about annulling marriages, where we can basically say you don't need a get because the nisuin never happened. Okay? Why is this such a big deal? Because In Mesuravot get cases, if you can come up with a way to say the first marriage never happened, then you can resolve a lot of issues, okay? Not just Mesuravot get, you could do it when it comes to mamzerim problems, right? You can say, oh, the first marriage never really happened, okay? It can solve a lot of problems because it's only mentioned three times in the Gemara, so, you know, they're very careful. They don't usually apply it in different situations. Sometimes they could try to recreate one of these situations to try to say. So anyway, what they're saying here is, basically, the rabbis have the power, which is fascinating, okay, to uproot marriage when it's necessary. So here they say, this guy didn't do, you know, he didn't act appropriately, and therefore the rabbis have the power to say, well, we're going to say that your kiddushin never happened. Even though, technically speaking, midoraita, right, it should happen. You understand? Like, midoraita, it's a good marriage. Which is fascinating, right? So, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi, Tinach de Kaddish Bekaspa. I understand if the guy got married with kesef, right? Like we do, with a ring. Because what do we say? The rabbis can say, this money, right, wasn't really your money. Like, they can basically play around when it comes to financial issues. Okay? They can say, there's a concept called Hefker Beitin Hefker, which means that the rabbis have the power to come in and say, the money that you think is yours is not yours. It really belongs to somebody else. Okay? It's like foreclosing on a loan, you know, you could, like, the bank could come and take your money out and say, this isn't your money, right? Like, we have to give this to somebody else. So in this case, they could say that. But when it comes to Kaddish Bebia, Amai, Shavir, what are you going to say when it comes to Be'ila? What? They didn't have sex? And let's say he was Makadish her with sex. They didn't have sex. They can't take a Be'ila and say that wasn't a Be'ila. Like, they can't move it around. So what do they say? No, you just say, Shavir Abana Lebilato Bilatznu. Okay, they just say that instead of it being a be'ila l'shem kiddushin, it's a be'ila l'shem znut. Okay, when the sugya comes up in Gittin, we're going to see it, I guess in a while, still have a while till we get to Gittin, but it talks about also, like, how do the rabbis have the power to uproot something midoraita? It's surprising they don't ask it here, but basically, right here they're saying midoraita, it's a good marriage, but the rabbis can do it, and what they explain there is, everyone who gets married called a mekadesh, adate de rabbana mekadesh. He gets married kidat Moshe Yisrael. That means, like, according to the rabbis. So since he gets married according to the rabbis have the power to basically uproot it and say, you didn't do your marriage. It's like a contract, right? We have a contract. As soon as you break your part of the contract, we can break our side of the contract, right? So they came into the contract with the within the context of the framework of the rabbis, Kedat Moshe Yisrael, and therefore if they do something relating to this marriage in an inappropriate manner, the rabbis can say, you violated the contract and there's no real marriage. Okay. Anyway, this is a huge topic, when we can do Hafgat Kiddushin and when not, you know, so just leave it at that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, now we're going back to the Mishnah, and the Psikat Halacha, Halacha Ki Rabbi Eliezer, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Halacha Ki Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Rabbi Elazar, the Emorah here. Okay, there's an Emorah Rabbi Elazar, there's a Tana Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar the Tana and Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, both paskin, one in, right, Rabbi Elazar is in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is in Bavel. They both paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, which is basically, we teach her to do miyun, right? Even though we saw miyun as a negative thing, right? We shouldn't try to encourage people to do miyun. However, in the case of a mitzvah and yibum, they see that that has more importance and therefore they paskin that. Okay, Mishnah. Mi shehaya nasoi l'shtei yitomot ktanot v'meit. Okay? What if he's married to two yitomot ktanot, meaning both marriages were midrabanan. Okay, now we're going to have a lot of comparisons of marriages drabanan, marriages doraita, how it works. And then he dies. So biyata ochalisata shelacha mehem poteret sarata. Okay? Any one of them can do yibum, regular case, because they're both midrabanan, so therefore they do yibum midrabanan. Remember, the chiyuv yibum is only drabanan at that point. V'chein shtei chershot. Same thing with two deaf people, because we said that they're also only married midrabanan. Okay, we're going to raise a problem immediately with this. If you recall, what did we say? According to this, right, they can either do yibum or do chalitza. What did we learn? A cheresha can't do chalitza because she can't speak. So we'll get to that in a minute, that question. Ktana v'chereshet. What if you have a ktana and a chereshet? Okay, both midrabanan. Okay, right? Ein bi'atacha mehem poteret sarata. One doesn't work to be poter the other. Okay, Rashi says why? Lo yad inam behein michale behei chashuva ishto tfei. The assumption here is this is called like min velo lo min min shelo b'mino. Now there's two different things. They're both derabanans, but one's in one category of a ktana, and one's in the category of a chereshet, and we don't know which one was like more significant to the husband. This is really interesting. The concept that yibum would have to be with the more significant one, okay? Because neither one is married derabanan, there's this concept that whichever one is like more was more important to him, that's the one that the chi of yibum would be for. Okay, exactly why that is, right? This, by the way, only would apply if they're Jorabanan. Once it's Joraita, they're all on an equal level. But the point is here, they say, the assumption is that one was more considered his wife to him than the other, okay? Because anyway, it was all Jorabanan, he must have favored one over the other, and we don't know which one. Okay, there's different reasons given, right? A chereshet, maybe because she's, right, what would be the reason? Right, the ktana, because she'll eventually become a gdola. So you can see why she would be more, more ahuv alav. The chereshet, I'm trying to think why she'd be more over the, I don't remember why.
She doesn't talk back to him.
That's a great answer. She doesn't talk back to him. I like that. Okay.
If she can't do chalitza, then maybe the ktana should do chalitza.
Uh-huh, because she can't do chalitza anyway, right? But I think it's more this issue of one is more chaviv. I'm trying to remember if they why she would have yitronot over the other. Not really sure why. Okay, maybe we'll come across it. I don't remember. Okay, now what if you have pikacha? So what does he have to do in that case, by the way? He has to do to each of them, right? Either chalitza or yibum, right? Again, we're going to discuss this chalitza where it comes to the chereshet. But he basically has to poter each of them individually, because if he does to one, it might not poter the other. We saw some cases like that a while back where each of the brothers has to do chalitza with her, or the women need chalitza from all the brothers, right? Or some different situations where there were multiple chalitzas going on. Pikachat v'chereshet. Okay, what if one's in good shape and one's a chereshet? Bi'ata pikacha poteret ha'chereshet, ve'em bi'ata chereshet poteret ha'pikacha. Okay, very obvious, right? Mm-hmm. So the one who's married to Oraita can be poter the one who's married to Rabbanan, but if you did chalitza or bia to the one who's married to Rabbanan, it wouldn't poter the other one. G'dola uktana, again, the same kind of thing, right? Bi'ata g'dola poteret ha'ktana, ve'em bi'ata ktana poteret ha'gdola. Again, another case of Rabbanan to Oraita. One's going to write the g'dola can be poter the ktana can't be poter the g'dola. Okay, so now we're going to ask, chereshet ba chalitzahi? How could we be talking? This mission is going on the assumption that chalitza can do, that chereshet can do chalitza. Didn't we learn, v'hatnan, chereshet nechlatz v'chereshet shechatza, v'choleset min hakatan, chalitzata psula? Her chalitza is no good, because she can't read, she can't speak. Amar of Gidol Amarav, abia. We're talking about that he does, right, that he can only do, right, the assumption is he can only do bia with her, okay? It's not, right. There's, look at the format of the Mishnah. Misha yastu nasu the shtei tamot kenayu mei biyata o chalitzata shalcha meyam poteret tzarata. Bechein shtei chershot. What does it mean, shtei chershot? Just as relates to the bia, not the chalitza. Let's just say, obviously, it's not the chalitza, okay? That's one possible answer. That when they said, the this is like a phrase, biyata o chalitzata poteret achame, right? Is it poter zeetzeh? And the chershot are obviously only relating to the yibum aspect. If you do the bia, then it works, right? Or it doesn't work, right? That's the whole question. But certainly, chalitza is not an option for her, just since the Mishnah is talking about ketana and gedola and, you know, all different options. It brings up chalitza also, but the chalitza just doesn't relate to the chereshet. Okay, that's an easy answer. The second answer, we're going to have questions on until the end of class today. Rabba Amar, okay, it should be Rabba with a hey, not with an aleph. Rabba Amar, afilu tema achalitza. Okay, you could say that this applies to chalitza. Okay, and you can look at the chart at the very bottom of the first sheet, the first side of the sheet. Kam becheresha meikara, kam bekipikachat vacharkach nitcharsha. Okay, now we're talking about someone who is deaf from the beginning and someone who was in good shape and then became deaf after the marriage. So now, what's the difference? Cheresha meikara, ki hechi da'av hachi nafa. What does that mean? If she was deaf from the beginning, then she can do chalitza. Why? Because we talked about this before, that her marriage is not such a strong marriage. And when you don't have such a strong marriage, it's very easy to get out of it. So you don't need all the criteria of a good chalitza, like she can read or she can speak. Sorry, not, I keep thinking of kriya, right? It really means to speak, not to read. So in that case, you can get out of it just like you got into it. That's what it means. Just like da'al shenichnasa hachinafak. That way she also goes out. But pikacha v'acharach nitcharsha lo dimakva bakriya. But if she went in and she has a nisua midoraita, because she was married, fair and square, she was a regular, she didn't have any issues, she wasn't deaf. Therefore, the marriage was a strong marriage. It needs a good chalitza, and she is missing the fact that she can't speak. Okay, and therefore that case is the case I was talking about in the other Mishnah when we said that her chalitza is psula. Okay, so now they're going to say that's the distinction. Etibei Abaye. Abaye is now going to have a slew of questions against Rabbah.
So what does a woman like that do?
Yafeh. So we're going to see this. Okay, we're going to see some sources to talk about. V'chereshet mi'ikara bat chalitza hi? Now Rabbi is going to say, just because she's chereshet mi'ikara, does that mean she could do chalitza? Now we're going to see that some sources that are going to show us, we're going to learn this Mishnah that we're going to learn in Kufyu Bet. Okay, we're going to see all parts of this Mishnah. They're going to bring four different cases of this Mishnah. First, they're going to bring one at a time. Okay, they're going to ask questions from each section, saying, is a chereshet really bat chalitza if she's chereshet mi'ikara? Okay? V'hatznan shnei achim, echad pikach v'echad cheresh. Nisu'in l'shtei nochriot, echad pikacha v'echad chereshet. Okay, so pikach marries a pikacha, a cheresh marries a chereshet. Okay, the two men are brothers, but the two women aren't sisters. Okay, meit cheresh ba'ala chereshet. So now the deaf guy who's married to the deaf woman dies. They had only a marriage midrabana, right? Ma yaseh pikach ba'al pikachat. Right, what does he do with this woman who's deaf now, who falls to Yibam with him, Yidrabanan? Kones. He has to marry her, right? He can't do Yibam, right? He can't do Chalitza because she's deaf. So he can only marry her. Vimratzala hotzi yotzi. And if he wants to divorce her after that, so he can divorce her, right? But if he wants to get rid of her, he can't get rid of her with Chalitza. He has to first do Yibam and then divorce her, assumption, because she's Chereshet, right? Now, basically, what he's going to go along the lines of, I'm going to read on a little further, but he's going to say, this must be a case where she was chereshet me'atchala. And therefore, what do you see here? Even a chereshet me'atchala can't do chalitza. Okay? Okay. We'll see how they prove it in a minute. So, make pikach bala pikacha. What if the reverse case happens? Okay, where the pikach dies. Ma yaseh cheresh bal chereshet. Kones ve'eno motzi la'olam. He marries her. Okay, but he can't ever divorce her. Why? Because he can only marry on a Durabanan level. But he was chayev in Yibam Mida Oraita. So his get can never be strong enough to get rid of the kiddushin of the original brother. Okay, because that was a kiddushin to Oraita, and this is only, he can only give get Durabanan and only give marriage Durabanan. So basically, his marriage has Oraita status, even though he's a cheresh. Okay, and therefore he can never get rid of her. But anyway, that's not relevant for our purposes. My love, the chereshet meikara, the katani kones in koletz lo, right? Don't we assume that this is talking about she was chereshet meikara? And then they say, no, love dafka lo, but pikacha v'achar kach nitcharsha. No, you can just say that it means, right? Just because they call her chereshet, it doesn't mean she was a chereshet from the beginning of the marriage. Okay. Tashma, second case. Shnei achim pikchim, nisuin shtei nochriot. Okay, again. Now, the difference here is you have two pikchim, two good men. They're married to two women who aren't sisters. Echad pikach l'echad chereshet. Meit pikach bala chereshet. So now the guy who was married to the deaf woman dies. Maya se pikach, okay, with this chereshet, bal pikachat. What does he do? Kones v'imrotze lahotzi yotzi. Remember, he can't do chalitza. Same thing. Meit pikach bal pikachat. Maya se pikach bal chereshet. Right now, what can the pikach do meit pikach bal pikachat, right? What is the pikach who's married to the chereshet, what does he do with this pikachat, right? The woman who's in fine shape? Oh, chalitza omi abim, because she can do yibum and she can do chalitza. So my love, now again, my love, juhu pikach meikara, now they're saying if they're comparing her to the pikach, So that just like the pikeach is meikarahi, d'me'ahu pikeach meikara, he nami chereshet meikara. They're saying we're going to make a comparison. If we're comparing a pikeach to the cheresh, or pikacha to the chereshet, they're saying just like the pikeach is pikeach meikara, the chereshet must be chereshet meikara. Okay, and therefore v'katane kones im choletzlo. And here you see again, she can only do yibum na chalitza. So they say, no, just because the pikeach was, again, the assumptions here are a little strange, right? Why do you have to assume that just because the pikeach was pikeach meikar that the chereshet was also chereshet meikar? They say, no, mi de'iria hakadita v'hakadita. Okay, so again, you could say, no, the pikeach is a pikeach meikar, and the chereshet is a pikachat that became nitcharsha. Okay, now we're going to have another problem, though, and this one's going to be more serious. Etive. Shnei achim, echad pikeach v'echad cheresh. Okay, so we go back to the first case. One pikeach, one cheresh. Nisuin shtei achayot. Now, they're married to two sisters. Okay, this is going to complicate things. Echad pikeach v'echad chereshet. Okay, so again, the pikeach is married to the pikachat, the cheresh is married to the chereshet, but the sister, the two are sisters. Meit cheresh baal chereshet. Okay, so now, the deaf guy dies. So the deaf woman now falls to, right, Maya se pikeach baal pikachat. Okay, so now what happens with the pikeach, the baal pikachat? Teitse mishum achot isha, right? She is just, she, second, I think she just goes, right? She's just ptura legamri, right? Teitse doesn't mean to the get, right? Teitse just means she's ptura, right? It's just erva. Just want to make sure 100%. It's just erva, I think, and she's ptura, right? One second. Right, it's just erva. Okay, she's erva because her chiyuv in any case is only midrabanan. Remember, but meit pikeach baal pikacha. What if the pikeach dies and then the pikacha falls to yibum? Right now we have a problem because he falls to yibum to which situation? Right, to a situation. This is just like the previous mishnah we had. He's chay of midoraita and yibum with her, and he's married only midorabanan to the other one. Maya se cheresh baal chereshet, motzi et ishto biget. He has to divorce his wife, okay, midorabanan, ve'eshet achiv asura la'olam. Okay, and the wife of his brother is forbidden to him forever also. Why is she forbidden to him? Because, right, what's the situation here? One second. Right. What's the problem? So his wife he has to divorce beget. That's because of what we started with today. Achot zikukato. Right? She's now the sister of his zikuka. So he can't stay married to her because they're only married midravan. He has to divorce her. But the sister who falls to yibum is never allowed to marry anybody. Why? Because he can't do chalitza. Right? You follow? He's a cheresh. Chershim can't do chalitza. Okay, but he also can't do yibum because midrabanan, she is now achot grushato. Okay, the first sister's aser because of achot zikukato. The second sister's aser because of achot grushato midrabanan. Okay, so she's basically totally and utterly stuck. Okay, so now what does this have to do with our case? Okay, he's going to basically say now Abaye that I can reject all your original answers based on this row. Okay, so now he says. If you want to say, just like all the other Mishnayot, where a case where it was pikeach acharkach nitcharesh, and it wasn't, right, chersham ikara, because chersham ikara, he says, no problem, you can get out of it with chalitza. So he says, you can't say that. Why? If she was a pikeach who then became deaf, mi matze mafik, how could he divorce her? What's the issue? Right? V'hatznan nitcharsha yotzi. Nistatet lo yotzi. Nitcharesh hu o nistate. It's from nistate, nistate. Okay, it's like shote. That's right. It's from a shote. So listen. If she becomes deaf, he's allowed to divorce her. If she goes crazy, like she becomes not sane, okay, he can't divorce her. But if nitcharesh hu, O nishtate, what if he married her legitimately? And then something happens to him, okay? Then he becomes a cheresh, or he becomes a shote. Lo yotzi olamit. his get cannot be enough now to get rid of the marriage that was there. Okay? So if that's the case, right, El Alav, it must be that he was a Chiresh Meikara. Okay? Because otherwise, he can't possibly give the wife a get. Okay? So what do they say? Umidahu Chiresh Meikara, Hinami Chiresh Meikara. Now he goes all the way back to the previous cases. He says, since he's a Cheresh Meikara, it must be the Cheresh that is also Cheresh Meikara. And if she's a Cheresh Meikara, then also in the Achayot case, that's the case, then also in the case where there were Nochriot, where there were two different marriages, right, they're also Cheresh Meikara. Uchna nami, Nochriot, Kones, In, Choletz, Lo. So it must be here, you see, that even if they're Cheresh Meikara, they can't do chalitza. So Rabba, how did you say that? And what does Rabba answer? Ishtik. Okay, we'll end here for today. Sorry we didn't get to finish more. But basically, Rabba has no answer. Okay? In a minute, in the next class, we're going to see Rabbi Yosef tries to come up with an answer. And as he answers up some of it. He says, you really could answer this. But he brings a different question on Rabba. Okay? So they all have these issues with Rabba about how you could say that a chereshet meikara is allowed to do chalitza. Okay, because remember the premise of his is it was a weak marriage to begin with, and therefore just like she got into it, she could get out of it. Okay, whereas the case where Chereshet can't do it is in a case where she had a good marriage to begin with, and then she can't get out of it once she's deaf because then she can't do the Tekes Chalitza properly.